Well, when Pastor Matt and I had a conversation that he was going to be at the convention, which I didn't expect him to be anywhere else, he said that week, I'm sorry, this is just in. Can we pray for Lily this morning? She's not feeling very well. Pastor Matt just texted me, so please pray for her. When he asked me originally, it was going to be Father's Day. It wasn't going to be this day. We were going to do the live service. We were going to come in, we were going to like have service early, and we were going to watch the convention live as it happened. And I was excited about that. I thought it was kind of cool that would be the opportunity to see 6,000 people worshiping the Lord, and being a part of that would, at that particular moment, sounded really cool to me. And then about 2 weeks ago, no, 3 weeks ago, it might have been longer, I don't know, I'm terrible with time. He comes up to me and he goes, "We got a problem this morning." And I said, "We do." I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "The internet's not working." And I looked at him and I go, "Well, that's not a big deal. We're fine." And then all of a sudden the wheels started turning in my head. If the internet's not working, that means that the broadcast can't go out. The Facebook Live, which is not the end of the world, but to some people who want to watch, it's tough for them to watch it live then. And then it started snowballing, and I'm like, "Wait a minute, if this happens when you're gone, what do we do? I don't know how to fix this. I don't know anyone except you in my life that knows how to fix something like this." So I eventually, after a couple of days of talking with him, convinced him that it was a bad idea to do that live because we didn't know what was going to happen. And I'm sure today everything went off without a hitch. Our internet's working just fine this morning, but I was worried. But originally he had asked me to speak on Father's Day, which is next Sunday. And when he asked me that, I was like, "That's great," but I said, "I'm worried about this technology stuff." But in my mind, I'd already been thinking about Father's Day. And it's hard for me to think about Father's Day without thinking about my dad. I remember a lot of the things that he did for me whenever I was little, that he would take me to ball games. He would pick me up. He would pick us up the moment he got off work. We'd go out to the Ball Diamond and we'd play until we couldn't see anymore. And then we found out who the guy was that turned the lights on, and he'd turn the lights on and we'd play some more. So Father's Day has always been a big deal to me. It's always been kind of a sad day for me too, since he passed. It's sad. It's kind of sad a little bit. And I know that not every single person has the relationship with their father that I did. I was very blessed. Not everybody has that kind of a relationship with their dad. But when I was thinking about the Father's Day message and thinking about my father and thinking about how much he loved me when I was little and how much he loved my mother and how much he loved my brother and my sister, and if you've met them, you know that's difficult. You think I'm the bad one? No, I'm just kidding. But I understand that everyone has a different relationship. But what I want to talk to you today about is about a father that we can all celebrate. A father that never disappoints, is never not there, and is always on time. He's always ready with open arms. His arms are open. He is full of love, and he is ready to give it to you right now. In fact, he loved us so much that he sent his son to this earth. He thought so much of us that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. This morning, I'd like to read a passage from Psalm chapter 23. I'd actually like to read the entire chapter. It won't take long, don't worry. It's Not 121 or 119. I can't remember which one it is now, the real long one. In Psalm 23, David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." I wonder how much at that particular moment David was truly understanding what Jesus was going to do for us at that moment, because this is the Old Testament. He knew sacrificing lambs, he knew sacrificing sheep, he knew sacrificing doves. He knew those things, but he didn't necessarily understand, but it sounds like he had a pretty good idea what was coming. And when I'm thinking about my Heavenly Father, when I'm thinking about my Father, I think about what are the characteristics of a good father. We sing the song, "Good, Good Father." If you were here early enough, that was one of the songs that I put in the Spotify run this morning just because I love that song. And it's not "Good, Good Father." We don't serve a good, good father. We serve a holy, great, wonderful, unmatchless, graceful Father. No matter what your experience was in life with your earthly father, your heavenly father is not that person. And I think about how many times we talk about on Wednesday nights, my wife and I, whenever we do the Bible study, that we want to have a better relationship with our father. One of the things that every parent, grandparent wants is to have a better relationship with their children. I want to have a better relationship even with my little dogs. I want them to love me, and I want them to look to me to help protect them, to provide for them, to love me. And I know that's silly. It's dogs, but they're family to me. So think about how much more God wants us to understand what He's doing for us and how much He would like us to do that. On Wednesday nights, we talk about having a better relationship. We've been talking about it for a long time. And the reason that we want to have a better relationship with Jesus is because right off the bat, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." I think that there's a lot of us that do a little bit of complaining maybe about their state in life, and we realize just if we really look at it, what we have. We live in a country where we're allowed to do this. There's lots of places that have to meet in private. There's lots of places that don't have air conditioning, and we're in a building right now that is an awful lot. I'd be sweating a lot more right now than I am if we didn't live in a building that had air conditioning. We don't really lack for anything. And I'm going to put myself right up here. I'm one of those people that's in the... I don't have any problem complaining when something goes wrong. And I need to remember this. He's taken care of me. I have a roof over my head. I have a car that starts. I have a wife that loves me. Please pray for her. She needs it. Because, boy, that is a tough job. If we really think about it, He's blessed us every single day that we can get up and have the opportunity to breathe. He's given us the opportunity to go to church. He's blessed us every day that the sun comes up, that the rain comes down, that the snow falls. Every single day is a blessing. I have no idea why, but I love that He makes me lie down in green pastures. I think about that when I was a kid. I never wanted to take a nap. And as an adult, I can't think about anything else. I just want to lay down for about 10 minutes. How many times have I said, 10 more minutes, honey? My wife is very much a get up. She gets up. She gets the coffee going. I'm like, can I have 10 more minutes? 10 more minutes. That's all I want. And whenever we go to get the grandkids for anything, they want 10 more minutes. He's patient with us. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside cool or quiet waters. He guides us. He's given us a guidebook. Whenever we're lost or feeling lost, it's because we're not reading the map that we've been given. And we're not close enough to Him. I'm struggling this morning. I'm sorry. He guides us. He's always with us no matter where we go. I think of the prodigal son and I think about how much I have in common with him. How far away I was and how he took me back. No matter where we are, He's with us. We have a guide. We have someone who has been here, has been with us our whole lives. And I think that if we think about it, He took care of us so much that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and He knew that even though that was enough to save us, that He wanted to give us something else, and He gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us. He gave it to us so that that would help guide us. So he doesn't just guide us with His words. He didn't just guide us with Jesus. He gave us the Holy Spirit to help put us in the right way. And then I love this part right here. You know, the characteristics of a good parent, a good father, a good mother. They provide for us. We lack nothing. They guide us. They are always with us. And then and then the third thing is that we have no reason to fear. We, no matter where we go, He's with us. But no matter where that path may lead, and it may feel like at times, it is very difficult to do this and look up at y'all, so I'm going to put that down for a minute. It's very difficult for us sometimes to realize that God's in control of everything. We think we're in control. We have a hold of the steering wheel. We're just fine. We're doing it all. And then all of a sudden the steering doesn't work anymore. What is going on? God's in control. That does not mean when you start to drive home, let go of the steering wheel. That means we need to let God be God in our lives. He protects us. He comforts us when we have gone through these things. I will fear no evil, it says. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod and the staff that was used by the shepherd was used for correction. It was like, hey, nope, 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 don't get over here. We got to get you back over here. When we're corrected, it's because someone loves us, right? We're not just doing that because, oh, I caught you. That's not what it's there for. The rod and the staff is to comfort us, is to let us know that there are boundaries and that God wants us to go that way. It says, I will fear no evil, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then, it wasn't enough that He sent His Son to die. It wasn't enough that He sent us the Holy Spirit. His Son left to go prepare a place for us, for you and me. And if you're listening to this right now, no matter where you are, did it for you too. I am not special. I am saved by the grace of God. He went to prepare a place for us. It says, if I go away from you, I go to prepare a place for you. Sorry. Our cup overflows with blessings. If we really sit down and count them. One of the things that we did for VBS is we counted God sightings 1 year. And it was awesome because you'd start to get more from the kids every single time. Every single night they'd be like, oh, Miss Janice, I've got a God sighting I want to tell you about. I saw God today because I looked and I saw the grass was growing. I saw the sun came up. We need to remember all the things that God has done for us. And if we took our time and just listened to kids sometimes, they aren't jaded by the rest of the things that are going on in the world. They don't know about the price of gas, nor do they care. Thank you, Lorelai. I appreciate that. They don't care. They don't care how much the eggs cost. They don't care how much the sugar costs. They don't care. They just want cake. Right? They don't care if the milk cost you a bunch or you had to go milk the cow yourself. They just want some. Our cup overflows. We live in a place where we have the ability to leave here, drive down the street. You can drive to that one place that's right here, or you can drive the one that's a little further away and get yourself some milk. Not a commercial for either one. But we have blessings all around us. We have God being there for us in every possible way that we can fathom and in places and ways that we can't even imagine. And He sent Jesus to go prepare a place for us. Jesus and God are preparing. Our Heavenly Father and Jesus are preparing a place for us. And I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. My wife and I have had conversations in the car about what this is going to be like. We're both awestruck. It's one of the few times that I just go, I don't know. I've got an opinion about everything. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like. I know it's going to be more than I can possibly fathom. It's going to be more than I could possibly describe to you if you gave me the rest of time. And I know that I did nothing to earn it. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If that doesn't make you smile, it's time to get right. It's time to pray. Say, Lord, I need you. you may not have had the experience with your earthly father that some people did. But your heavenly father loves you. And there are several thousand words in here that show it. And if words aren't your thing, he sent his son to die on the cross and he gave you all the action you could possibly need. And if that wasn't enough, he sent the Holy Spirit here to guide you, to comfort you, to give you the words to say when it's difficult to say anything at all. I'd like to ask the ladies to come that are going to sing the last song. And I am definitely going to cry during that one, so just get ready. And we'll pray. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you loved us enough to not just send your son, to not just let him die for us, but you raised him back up and then you sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us. Lord, and we're so grateful that you were such a great father that you are preparing a place for us right now. Ask, Lord, that you be with our pastor and the other members of our church family and our pastor's family as they're away, and that you might give them safe traveling mercies home, and that you'd be with Lily this morning, Father, especially as we just found out that she's not doing well this morning. Ask that you'd be with us as we go throughout the remainder of this day. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.